As I was getting ready for bed the other night, this topic occurred to me. Stop trying to be. Just be. This is what was going on. Instead of reading two books, which is normal for me before I fall asleep, it occurred to me that reading one of those books, I was actually trying to be. And so when it occurred to me, all I did is set that one book aside and read the other book, which I read every night. Christ Returns Reveals Startling Truth. Even reading this book is, to a degree, me trying to be. Because reading is an action, it's an effort, and it's aimed at acquiring awareness. Being is a state of awareness. Being as a verb is about receiving the value of awareness about our state. From that state of being, our doing will be more effective, as will our having. Most of us do things differently. It seems like doing things is like engaging in a mining industry, trying to extract value out of the ground, right? Scraping, digging, tearing down mountains and burrowing deeply, looking for value, looking for value. If we do enough things, perhaps we're going to be able to add value, find some evidence about ourselves that we can add to our identity and relieve some of our own anxiety. This extractive attitude, it affects our happiness too. We think if we have enough things that we've acquired and still possess and can show off and can feel good about, if we can use this information to further define ourselves, we think that, oh yeah, yep, I'd be something different. I doubt that. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Would you think this is true? The less we be, the more we have to do, and the more we have in order to feel comfortable with ourselves. And here's the other. Do you think illness is actually and accurately perceived to be a doing or a having problem? But really, it's a being problem. I think that's true. So, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that, you have to take this, you have to take that. You don't have enough of this, and you have too much of that. That's doing and having is perceived to be the problem. I think that's inaccurate. But this is a real challenge for all of us, and I'm certainly no exception, and frankly, I'm a good example of this challenge. Marianne and I just bought 5 language learning programs from Pimsleur. I saw a Google ad next to something I was looking at on the internet the other day, and Pimsleur said, you can learn a language in 10 days. Well, I speak Spanish. Marianne speaks some Polish. Neither one of us speak as well as we want, right? There's something. So we ended up buying Spanish, Italian, French, Polish, and German. And to me, it's a clear example of us attempting to use doing to increase our sense of being. It also indicates to me an energy acquisition strategy. That's one of the main and the first form that I describe in my energy model, my energy relationship, energy acquisition. So that strategy is what gets activated when there is a belief in not enoughness. And that belief gets activated. It's like, uh-oh, what am I going to do? We don't speak enough languages, and the Pimsleur ad on my computer indicated that maybe there's some way for me to overcome that not enoughness, saying that, oh, we can teach you how to speak in 10 days. If speaking only English was enough for me, I probably wouldn't be interested in speaking another language. I'm enough. But that's not true. For me, people who can speak 5 languages or 6 or 7 languages, kind of like the people I've met multiple times on our trips to Europe, I think those people are the coolest people on the planet to be able to speak that number of languages. How cool is that? For me, it's great. For some other person, they go like, who cares? That has no interest, and so on. So it's just an indication of what energy forms that are important to us, to our sense of ourselves. I'm wondering if Pimler's success might be due to the fact that in their ad, they're talking about the student doing less than in other forms of language learning. Maybe Pimsleur is saying, just be in the presence of the new language being spoken, 30 minutes a day, 10 days. You don't have to do anything else. You will automatically absorb this information into your consciousness. Now, for people who have done all the things of language learning, you know, flashcards and memorizing stuff and practicing vocabulary and verb conjugations and on and on and on and on and on, as I have, all of a sudden the idea of just hearing it and letting it soak in is a pretty attractive idea. Our being is a state of awareness. It is not our material circumstances. It's the human ego that says to us, you got to grab what you want. You got to get more of what you want. And you got to push away what you don't want. And you definitely have to push away people who are trying to get the same thing that you want. Being is about being. It's not about doing, and it's not about having. If we do as a way to be, I think we're really putting ourselves at a disadvantage. We're going in a wrong direction. And when we invest all of that doing, trying to increase our sense of beingness, it's not really working because now we have to turn to our neighbors for adulation and praise and all the rest of the stuff. And we recognize that they're very fickle. They give it when they feel good and they don't give it when they don't feel good. It's like, on the other hand, if we do to sow, to plant seeds, to give life to ideas, to start electron flows, to feel fun, to feel effective, I think we're using doingness appropriately. If we use havingness as a strategy to bolster our being, I think we're going to be at that same disadvantage. It's like being addicted to doing. Having is ineffective at actually affecting our being. Yeah, we can show off our possessions and all the junk that we've got in the garage and bank accounts and all the rest of the things that we can strive to have, but it's going to lead us astray. It's just an unhealthy attachment to material objects that we get tricked into believing that it can, in fact, affect the unseen important part of us, our being. Because we think if we have more stuff around us, if we do more and have more, our being is better than other people's being. Not true. If our doing and having are extensions, that if they're in alignment with our being, I think we can really experience and expect to experience more peace and more happiness because of that alignment. There won't be any conflict. We won't be at odds with our true spiritual nature. But if we misinterpret our being and we try to use doing and having to make it more, make it better than the other guys, we're going to end up finding ourselves striving and struggling, desperate or depressed, anxious or angry, that it is not working no matter how much we do. No matter how much we have. It seems to me that there's a fundamental problem that we have about this misunderstanding regarding the concepts of being, doing, and having. Instead of figuring out their meanings, what do they actually mean, we stay in confusion, and then we do and have as much as we can, because we're dealing with the visible, things that are seen, and we're also dealing with stuff that is being promoted to us on an unbelievable levels. All this advertising. Very few places are encouraging us to stop consuming and work on our sense of being. you're going to have a hard time finding that ad on television. Besides the advertisers, you can almost think of the human ego as kind of the same type of advisor, whispering, cajoling, urging, browbeating us into behaving in certain ways in order to guarantee certain outcomes. From the ego standpoint, our individuality is seen as being much more important than other people's individuality. That's the ego saying that. And so now the ego goes, that's why you got to do more. That's why you have to have more. Because we need to strengthen this sense of our individuality. We got to be more. We got to be better. We got to be more secure. We got to be more dominant. All of this will help to make us safer. But that's the ego talking. That's not our being talking. And here's the fundamental problem that we don't know. Our beingness is not determined by another's doingness or our own doingness. No matter what we do, it's not going to change our being. No matter what anybody does around us, it's not going to change our being. No matter how much stuff we have or don't have, it's not going to change our being. No matter how much stuff the other guy has or doesn't have, it's not going to change our being. The only thing that we need to do is to recognize that our being is immutable. It's immutable. What we want to become more aware of, and the way we do that, is to expand our consciousness, our awareness of our being. That continues to grow. Our appreciation for our being and that of other people continues to expand. I like to refer to things as the fork in the road. So here's a fork in the road example. One fork is a path that says, do and have more and more. And then use the results to kind of reinforce, but if you're not successful, to degrade your sense of your own being. Or other people on that path will reinforce your sense of self, or they will degrade that sense. That's one fork. Doesn't sound that appealing to me. The other path is this one, and it leads to expanding our understanding of our own beingness. And from this place of knowing our being is an extension of the source of all being. It came from somewhere. It came from the source of all being. It came from the divine. And you go, oh, so if I know my relationship of me, my being, to the divine, I'm going to be a lot better off. Yes, we're going to be a lot better off. Because not only will we respect our own origins, we will respect the origins of other people. Our doing and our having are not driven by, under normal circumstances on the earth plane, by a higher level of awareness. For many, many people, they're driven by this lower ego consciousness. Get more, keep away others, push what you don't want away from you. But as we become more aware of our own being, our doing is affected. Our having is affected. Now all of a sudden, we have an appreciation for ourselves and other people, and certainly the divine, and now this level of respect and gratitude for this condition, for this awareness, starts to express toward the beingnesses of all other people and things. Early in our lives, what has happened for most of us is that our doing led to waves of energy coming back to us. Right? We wanted to do something, we wanted to touch something, we wanted to play in the street, any number of activities that we either engaged in or wanted to engage in, and other people provided energy waves flowing at us. Don't do that. You're with all kinds of levels of intensity and a wide range of emotions as well. those waves that came at us were given meaning by the other people, and they were given meaning by us when they arrived. And if they were real, certainly they were real in terms of the waves, but the meanings that were given are all made up. They're all made up. Name-calling is a really big thing in humankind. It's huge. And if we took on any of those names that were added to those waves of energy coming at us based upon our doing, if we didn't have better judgment, and as children it's not likely that we did, we would take on those meanings as if they were clothing that were rightfully ours, and then we would dress ourselves in whatever level of praise or condemnation just flooded us. We accepted this error. We thought our doingness and our havingness change our beingness. No, they don't. They are three separate things. This idea that our beingness is more important than our doingness and our havingness is not real new news, folks. This is a teaching of Jesus, right? Didn't he demonstrate that people were acceptable to him despite whatever conditions of doing, whatever jobs they had, didn't faze him, and their level of prosperity, that was not a game changer as far as he was concerned. If anything, he was much more accepting of the lower classes because he recognized their needs, and he was very eager to reduce their suffering. So he found them acceptable. He was able to look past the doing and the having, and he saw the being within each of them, which is why he was so loving, because he achieved that when he achieved Christ consciousness, and then viewing things from that point of view, he could see the truth about people. There's an Eastern greeting, Namaste, which is a recognition by one person of the divinity in another person. In my language today, I'd like to say, it's as if one person being is acknowledging the being of the other person. Not talking about their what they do for a living, not talking about their wardrobe, not talking about their possessions, their status in the world, not. It is just about being-to-being communication. Our being is of the divine. It is our connection. It is what came from the divine. And then we added the human ego afterwards, and then we added the human body that's changing minute by minute over the entire course of our lives, learning new things and forgetting old things and so on. That's of the world. Our doing and having are of the world. There's a big difference that we need to remember. Our being is of the divine. Our doing and having are of the world. Our consciousness, and I'll describe it like this, who we think we be is what controls our doing and our having. We can't operate outside of this energetic container, this force field that we've constructed out of thoughts and feelings and words and actions, not only those of our own, but what we've heard or experienced over the course of our lives. In a real simple sense, you've heard this phrase, comfort zone, and I think that was an attempt years ago to describe this field that when we're inside of it, we don't feel that threatened. It may not necessarily be comfortable. It's familiar. And that familiarity, well, you know, I'm not that happy, but at least I'm familiar with it. That might be what this was attempting to describe, this field of consciousness that we have come to accept as ours. So if we think of consciousness as a word that describes our complete and total access to all the ingredients out of which we can create our lives, we can begin to understand, oh, now I understand why I want to increase my consciousness by connecting to divine consciousness. As I expand my knowingness about who I be, my life can change dramatically. Yeah, yeah. If we don't have the ingredients we want or need in order to create something in our environment, say a sandwich or a cake or a dinner or something, under normal circumstances, we would say, oh, it's because I don't have the ingredients. The ingredients aren't available. But in terms of consciousness, that's not the problem. The problem is our consciousness won't let us access them. They're there. It's almost as if they're on this invisible shelf, but our consciousness, our lower level of awareness, doesn't see them. Here's a true example, and it's kind of silly, along the lines of language. The reason I don't speak Mandarin Chinese is that I have no Mandarin Chinese words in my consciousness. I don't have the ingredients to do speaking in Mandarin. If we understood the fact that we build our consciousness, we could take steps to add what we prefer, right? Or let go of what we've accumulated that no longer serve us. Here's a scenario. Let's imagine that we see several young children playing with their own sets of Lego toys. Each of the kids can assemble the different shapes any way they want. They can use them to create any kind of structure they feel like. Inevitably, the kids are going to look around at what others are doing, and then they're going to compare what they're building with what the other kids have constructed. In some cases, it's likely that a child, particularly adept, perhaps, is going to brag about what they've created. And other kids might turn around and ridicule somebody else's creation. Now, let's imagine our consciousness are formed from invisible energy patterns, almost like invisible Lego pieces. I certainly can imagine that an angry thought could have a different shape and size than a gentle, loving thought. You can imagine a feeling of generosity being a different shape and size than, say, a feeling of greed. The child who's ridiculed in that scenario could accept that unkindness as a fact. This is true about their construction and them as an individual. Or that child might, and this would be ideal, recognize that the other child, the one who's doing the ridiculing, is displaying a lower awareness level. And when a person is displaying a lower awareness level, you really have to question its accuracy and its validity. But children being children, you and me being children at one time, it's much more likely that we're going to take that ridicule at face value, add it to our consciousness as being true, and start building a life based upon that. And we all know and actually experience the consequences of building our consciousness with distorted, faulty patterns of energy delivered to us by ourselves and our misunderstandings, as well as by people who are functioning at very low levels physically, emotionally, mentally, when they have said unkind things to us or they have done unkind things to us. Like us, that ridiculed child is now going to devote in their life enormous amounts of energy, mental energy with their thoughts and emotional energy with their feelings, tremendous energy with their words and actions, for the purpose of doing and not doing, having and not having, all designed to help them escape the threat of that ridicule recurring. We are not our experiences, unless we interpret and conclude that we are. We are not our possessions, unless we interpret and conclude that we are. If there's something that we want to do, but can't seem to get ourselves to do it, we can either cleanse our consciousness's inventory of false beliefs, of those ridicule situations, of those can't kind of conclusions, or we can add additional knowledge, similar to what I was describing with Mandarin Chinese as a language. You add words, you add listening. If we think of effective doing as growing out of the ground of our being, and I believe that to be true, we're going to find life a lot more enjoyable because there's a harmony there. If we think of effective having as coming out of the ground of our doing, which I believe is true, we will know how to focus our attention. Even if we don't know the details of our faulty beliefs that we've accumulated in this life and past lives, to include those descriptions of the ridiculed child a moment ago, we still can reach out in thought and feeling to divine consciousness to increase our awareness of who and what we be. When we lack understanding of who and what we be, it causes us to fall prey to the addictive doing and having that it is so heavily marketed to us. It puts us on the treadmill like hamsters, doing and having and doing and having and doing and having. And that is not where happiness or joy or health or success or peace are going to come from. They're going to come from the source. They're going to come to us through our being. I'd like to end the service with a prayer. This is the pluralized version of the prayer from Letter 8 of Christ Returns, Reveals Startling Truth. Father, Mother, Life, you are our life, our constant support, our health, our protection, our perfect fulfillment of every need, and our highest inspiration. We ask you to reveal the true reality of yourself to us. We know it is your will that we shall be fully illumined, that we may better receive awareness of your presence within and around us. We believe and know this is possible. We believe you protect and maintain us within perfect love. We know our eventual purpose is to express you. As we speak to you, we know you are perfectly receptive of us, for you are universal loving intelligence, which has so marvelously designed this world and brought it into visible form. We know that as we ask you to speak to us, we are sending out a consciousness searchlight into your divine consciousness, and as we listen, you will be penetrating our human consciousness and coming ever closer to our increasingly receptive minds and hearts. We commit ourselves and our lives into your care. It is so. Thank you. Amen.